It's Mattress Firm's 4th of July sale with a preview of our free event. Get free bed accessories like 2 free memory foam pillows and a free mattress protector when you take home your new bed for just $5.99. That's a value of over $150 absolutely free. On top of that, you can save up to $400 on the best brand store-wide. Hurry in and beat the crowds. Your budget stretches further at Mattress Firm.
Offer valid with a qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, and this time it's really all-new, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. We've always been improving HuntRealEstate.com, but on April 30th, we brought out a whole new version of it, which I encourage you to go to today. It's not just got, it doesn't have just one algorithms, but three if you're looking to determine property value, yours or any property really. And that is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call today, 633-3700, and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants. And that is a guarantee of ours, and also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. And in today's very competitive real estate market, I encourage you to take that option because not everybody has the full price of a home in cash to pay today, but oftentimes in a competitive situation, so one of the offers will be all cash, and the only way to compete with that is to have its equivalent, which is a mortgage commitment. It's available only through Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700 and ask for that personalized, customized, we like to call knock your socks off service. It's right there for you. Check out our low rate guarantee and call today, 633-3700. Don't forget about the first ever 24/7, 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale, not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate. And even again out to Phoenix, Arizona, simply dial 716-631-4800. That's the Western New York number. Enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is. And the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime, in any market we serve, on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's. So you drive by and you see one of those signs with 14 phone numbers on it and a picture and 14 additional riders on it. Just write down this number, 631-4800. Call us. We'll take care of everything for you. And it's all automatic, and it's much faster than even going to a website. We're in a very active spring market right now. There is a shortage of homes available, not just here in Western New York, but all across upstate and all across the United States, as a matter of fact. And, you know, it's one of those times when if you're thinking about selling your home, there's probably been never been a better time to see real appreciation in your home values. I was talking to some of our real estate professionals yesterday about this very topic, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, by any estimation, if you look at a particular property today and it might indicate that it's worth $180,000 by all various analyses, we put it on the market for $180,000 and it sells for $210,000 with 10 offers. And that's not terribly uncommon. So if you're thinking about selling your home, this is a time when you may want to take advantage of that. Now, the other side, obviously, what do you do when your house sells? Where do you go? Well, there's lots of options out there, and we'd like to discuss those with you. 633-9400, that's the Hunt Customer Service Center. Call today and find out about not just that, but also about the seller security plan. Let's say you've got some doubts about, you know, whether you want to sell and you want to try to maximize your value, and you don't know where you want to go yet. The seller security plan is just for you. We will sell your home or ERA will buy it, and that allows you to go out and find a home that you really want without a contingency. 633-9400. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. Lots of good news coming out of the Bills and the Sabres these days, and so hopefully we'll look forward to some better seasons in the fall and winter this year. We are live at WBEN 930 AM. If you want to reach us here in the studio, reach us here at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, and star 930 if you're mobile. And text at 30930. All right. And you can, if you want to be anonymous, you just text us and we'll answer your question as best we can. Those are all free calls, by the way. Join us on the air. We have a very special show for you today. We're going to be talking about something a little different than we've been talking about in the weeks past. And that's, I guess the best way to describe it is, what do you do with a property once you own it? That's kind of an important topic. If it's your own personal residence, obviously you want to put your own, you know, creativity and thoughts into it. But what about if it's an investment property? And if you want to do something like that, you really need to at least consult with professionals. And I have two in the studio with me today that are two of the very best in our community. Bill Hibbard, who is a professional engineer and happens now to be the president and general manager of Hunt Property Solutions, with more than 20 years of experience in facility management, engineering, construction management, and even energy management services. Bill's a real expert in this whole area. And along with Bill, we have Steve Fitzmaurice. Steve Fitzmaurice is among the most experienced property managers in Western New York, having been the general manager, I believe was your title, at the former HSBC Tower. And that's kind of an interesting story. Maybe you've been on the show several times, Steve, in your previous life. Mm-hmm. Now you're back in property management with Hunt Property Solutions, but you're also active in the commercial market as well.
Yes, sir.
So let's go back in time, Steve. It's an interesting story. I mean, you don't have to go into all the gory details, but since 1972 when the tower was built.
Correct.
And that was the largest building ever to be built in our community and still remains that today. And it's really a remarkable property. You and I have discussed this many times. Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill design, and mm-hmm. often criticized because it dwarfed a lot of the rest of the buildings in downtown Buffalo. And when there was all the controversy over it, I had a lot of unsolicited opinion that maybe they should knock it down, among other things. So, I mean, you and I think that's crazy talk, but that was out there because of the fact that, you know, people were very concerned about how it was going to be filled once the mm-hmm. bank and HSBC itself and its law firm, Phillips Lytle, which occupied something north of 80% of the building, eventually moved out. So walk us back in time. There were happy days for a long time, 35 years probably.
Oh, at least. We had HSBC as the anchor tenant occupying 78% of the building.
Walk back in time, just because our listeners, a little context to this. Marine Midland Bank was the original.
Yes.
And that was the Knox family, among others.
So correct.
Walk us back to that point in time from what you can recall.
Well, Marine Midland Bank occupied the Marine Midland Bank building on the corner of Seneca and Main Street. And they wanted to expand. They needed a bigger building. And so the Knox brothers engaged Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill to build this building, and there's some fascinating stories about how the building came about. But you have the 40-story tower, and you have the two wing buildings wrapping around it. And there's a story about Seymour Knox standing on Main Street a few blocks up from there, and he wanted to make sure that you didn't see the 190 or the Skyway. So that's why the ancillary buildings were built around the tower. And then when he was standing on the waterfront looking back at the site, he said, you know, we need something here that makes sense, because once again, you're looking over the 190 and what would make sense. So they decided on a 38-story tower. But beyond there, there's this emotional story that Seymour really wanted to make sure that there were always a large number of people working in downtown Buffalo. So he built a building of this scale, and thank God he did. And over the years, I've come to spend some time with architectural historians who explained a lot of the reasons why Skidmore did the building the way they did. It's actually a tribute to Mayan architecture, believe it or not. And there's some wonderful features to the building.
You know, it's interesting. It was not just that building that Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill was involved with here in Buffalo. Going back to the 1960s, when they were a man named Bunshaft was the architect on the staff at Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill that designed the extension of the Albright Knox Art Gallery.
Correct.
Which is truly one of our architectural treasures, although it's controversial given the fact that it's attached to a 1905 building. And now we're into the next phase where we're going to have a 2020 building mm-hmm. Attached to the other side of it, which will be most interesting. It's a beautiful design, I think, anyway. But back to the building itself. So How long were you involved there, Steve, and what kind of changes did you see along the way?
I started there in 1998 and left in 2014. Along the way, we had a succession of three different owners, and each of them had different goals with the building. John Creedman was the original owner of the building when I was there, and then Michael Verruto and David Givner took over when John passed away, unfortunately. And then eventually it was sold to a group of investors from New York City in 2005 and made headlines as the largest real estate transaction ever in Western New York.
And you and I went down to visit with those people a couple times, which was most interesting.
Yes.
And when it became apparent that the bank was going to be moving and also the law firm, and consequently, the building would go into default.
Mm-hmm.
I remember what they said to us, because we had gone to some elaborate lengths working with the School of Architecture here at UB, the Urban Lands Institute, and others to come up with a viable plan for its redevelopment. And I remember talking to them, and they turned to us and said, well, we're not developers, we're investors, go find a developer. Well, at that point, I think we both kind of knew what would have to happen at that point in time, would have to go into asset management, as mm-hmm. they call it, which is the euphemism for foreclosure.
Yes.
And then at that point, of course, some time later, Mr. Jamal stepped in and actually bought the building. And so we're anxious. What do you think is happening now? Or what do you know, I should say? It's kind of a difficult. There's occasionally an article in the paper, and you know, we're going to try to get to Mr. Jamal on the show to talk about it a little bit. But what do you think is happening?
I think we're fortunate that somebody like Doug Jamal bought the building. He's got deep pockets, and he's not in a rush to get something done there. But what he's done is something that we thought about. He's put a residential component in the ancillary buildings, and the wonderful thing about that is it activates the site for retail on a 24/7 basis. Our struggle with retail in the building was always that it had to be something that worked from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday with no weekends, no evenings, and that's very difficult. We had the first Tim Hortons in a commercial high-rise building in the United States in our building, and believe it or not, it never made money. How could you have a Tim Hortons and not make money?
I know, it's pretty shocking.
Yeah.
Because you only had the one clientele.
Well,
from 9 to 5, basically.
Right, right. They need an 18, 24-hour day and 7 days a week, and we couldn't provide that. And I think Doug is changing that with his plans for the building. I know he wants to incorporate a lot of retail there, and then the tower will lease. I'm not sure. I think he wants to have commercial tenants in the tower, but that could change. Mm-hmm. I think the fascinating thing about Doug is that he's not committed to a particular occupancy of the building. He's going to do what makes sense and play the hand that he's dealt.
And we do have a caller on the line. I'm not sure what his question or comment may be, but this is a gentleman from Bowmanville. Sir, how can we help you?
Yes, I have a house I'm about to list, and mm-hmm. It's probably worth between 5 and 6, which is high for the area, but there's mm-hmm. a development right next to mine where there's about a $2 million house, and there's $800,000 or $900,000 houses in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm considering buying new garage doors that are wooden to put on to add value, because the regular garage doors I have are just regular doors.
Mm-hmm.
What would you advise about that? And I have a second question about valuation of a walkout basement of 1,500 square feet finished.
Those are two very, very important questions. First of all, regarding the garage doors, there are certain improvements that you can make to a home that are dollar for dollar or dollar plus for dollar values. One of those things, I think, is facade work, things that make the property simply more attractive. And there's no question in my mind that the way that technology and design of garage doors has evolved over time, particularly since the 1980s, let's say, that they really do add a great deal to, in my mind, the visual effect of any property. One of the things that I've always mentioned to our real estate professionals is that people buy a home in the first 10 seconds of their arrival on the property. Psychologically, they either, you know, it strikes them or it doesn't. And I would strongly advise that if in your mind those new garage doors would add visually to the architecture of your home. And I don't know the architecture of them, so it would be difficult for me to comment in any great detail. I would strongly advise in favor of it.
It was hand-built by the custom builder, and I won't say his name, but the custom builder did a tremendous job. He could have built it himself, but he had his staff do it. And so I have this tremendous front door that's probably worth it. Today to replace it would be $5,000. The house is 18 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I want to try to match the door. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense, and I just think from a visual standpoint, again, you've got a few seconds to really make that house create the impression that you want it to make on the prospective purchaser, and I think it'd be money well spent. But again, I'd have to see your home before I really should continue opening my big mouth.
It's fine. I get that. Now, my second question is about the walkout basement. It's mm-hmm. with a second kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I set a patio up so you could build basically a timber frame on it to enclose it for the winter or for all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, the walkout basement is an interesting question. This is something we'd have to see. But the generally speaking, it's bonus space. That's, I guess, the best way I could describe it.
Yes.
Also, in generally speaking, the square footage that an appraiser will count has to do with the first and second floor, the main living spaces.
Right.
But the walkout basement being a kind of plus, it's kind of like, and I don't want to put it in the same category, it's like a swimming pool. It's something that obviously adds great value to you living in that home. Whether or not the next buyer will pay you dollar for dollar value is just a question that would have to be answered by that particular buyer. Some people see a pool or a basement that's beautifully done like yours must be, and they say, that's exactly what I want, and you know, it makes I'm going to buy the house. Other people say, it's just, I wasn't looking for that. I don't really care about that. The pool, I'm going to fill it in, or whatever the case might be. So it's going to take a particular buyer to appreciate that. But if they do, there will be added value. And I think in pricing it, you'll want to consider that and try to achieve the greatest value you can in your pricing strategy to account for the work you've done in both the second building and the walkout basement.
Okay. Tremendous advice. Very good.
And thank you very much for calling. Call us at the office if we can help in any way.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the call. Interesting questions because it's very what the gentleman was referring to is very often something we see, and that is an improvement that somebody may or may not want to make. And Bill Hibbert is a professional engineer. You know a lot about this too. They may or may not want to make for their own purposes. But also in the back of their mind, how will this affect the future value of the property? Often when you're talking to a property owner, Bill Hibbert, you have to answer the same kind of question. What should we do to maximize both the revenue potential for this building and also its long-term value? So I'm sure you get a host of questions, and I wouldn't even know mm-hmm. where to begin. But mm-hmm. when you look at a property, where do you start? I know one of the things that you are a specialist in is an analysis of any given piece of real estate. So where do you start?
Sure. We start with a building condition assessment. And we'll look at the building in its entirety, the building exterior, the roof, the HVAC, plumbing, electrical systems, the equipment in the building. And we'll come up with what we feel is our prioritization. So we'll look at all the projects, and this would also be applicable to a home.
Mm-hmm.
All the things that make up either the ongoing maintenance of the building or small capital projects you want to do on the property, up to large capital projects. Ultimately, you want the physical indicators of that property to stand out.
We've had developers on this show from time to time and with a certain degree of frequency. And most of the time we've talked about the opportunity that exists in a place like Western New York for our many historic structures, even the tower, as we've talked about, Steve, you and I, on this show several times. And you know, there's always where do you start? How far do you go before you've over over-improved a property relative to its economic value going forward? In other words, will someone pay you in rent or in purchase to justify the investment you're making along the lines from the gentleman from Bowmanville was asking? So let's say you do your assessment and it shows, let's say the building might be, in its present state, just to pick a number, say it's worth $5 million.
Right.
And so your building assessment says, well, to bring it up to, let's say, reasonably good standards, it's going to take another million.
Right.
How do you advise someone in that moment? Because you've got to look, you've got to get inside their shoes, and you've got to say, okay, I'm the owner now. I've got to produce a return on my investment for myself or my investors. So how far can I afford to go? And do you work with them along those lines?
Sure. You know, what we try to do is establish what that you know, that what that threshold might be. So of course we're going to recommend if you know, if the roof is in real tough shape and it's going to protect the value of the asset, we would then highly recommend that you make that investment in that property. So
that may be something you have no choice about.
Exactly.
But there are certainly once you get inside the building, once you take care of the infrastructure itself, the plumbing, heating,
right,
HVAC, all electrical, all the stuff you mentioned earlier, once you get past that, which may be a safety necessity, then you've got the optional stuff.
Right. You don't want to overspend on a property. So, you know, understanding the value going in. And, you know,
the potential revenue on the backside of all this.
Sure. Yeah. And, yeah, you're going to make that decision with the owner, ultimately doing those things that, you know, will bring additional value, but you're going to help that owner prioritize. So, you know, right now we manage some of the most iconic, I would say, properties in the Buffalo area. Klein Hands Music Hall, for instance. You know, the city owns the property, but the BPO and the Klein Hands organization, you know, they lease that property, and we would go in and take a we did do a building condition assessment.
I'm going to have to stop you there, because
sure.
I want to come back to that, because the historic issue is really at the heart of, I think, what many people in our community are thinking about today. And we'll be right back with more from Our House to Yours after these very important messages. Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the truly all-new, complete, all-new architecture and everything, huntrealestate.com, where everything is easier, truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. Huntrealestate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate, and even through our links to Phoenix, Arizona, and Boston, Massachusetts. And you'll find access to a complete set of homeownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And for more information about our many exclusive programs, including the one that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, and that's just what we're talking about today, allowing you to buy the before and live the after, call 633-3700 and ask for details. Also ask about our pre-purchase commitment I mentioned earlier in the show, and even our warm home loan, only at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. And even if you've gone through the process of speaking with a loan officer, it's a bank or something like that, take advantage of our second look. Our second look is one of the most unique opportunities, I think, that exist in the home financing world for free. As a matter of fact, we'll pay you to take a look at whatever you've been offered to make sure it's the best deal that you could possibly get. And that is our guarantee. 633-3700 for the second look, as well as a pre-purchase commitment, warm home loan, and the buy the before and live the after. And for those of you who'd simply prefer to pick up the phone and ask any question about real estate, call Hunt Real Estate at 633-9400, and our customer service reps will either answer your call right there or direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. As I mentioned earlier, we will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. That's a seller security plan available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA professional. I'm in the studio today with Bill Hibbard. Mr. Hibbard is the president and general manager of Hunt Property Solutions and a professional engineer, and he's been in this racket for 20 years or more in facility management Engineering, Construction Management, and Energy Management Services. Also here in the studio with me today is Steve Fitzmaurice, really one of the leading experts in property management in Western New York, having for 16 years managed the what we used to know as the HSBC Tower, and now is, what are we calling it now?
Seneca One Tower.
Seneca One Tower. Yeah. So very, very interesting history of that building, way back to its original architecture, and that very interesting story you told about the Mr. Knox and his attitude about what should happen in that part of town. And, you know, it was an interesting time back then, just going back to that for a minute. The 1970s, which people don't know, was the there were more building permits issued in the 1970s than any other decade in history here in Western New York. It was also a time of rapid flight out of the city into the suburbs, which I think may have been a motivation for Mr. Knox to try to keep people in town. It was also during the 70s that we built our rapid transit system, which destroyed retail on Main Street. And I remember talking with Henry Nowak about that whole process way back when. And his attitude, I think, was the right attitude for somebody in elected office, and that is your job is to bring home benefits to your community. And there were a huge amount of transportation funds available at that point in time. And in so doing, he brought that system or created the financing mechanism to build that system. Now we have to pay for it, of course, and upgrade it and improve it. But it was a very interesting time because that was an enormous transition for downtown and not always in the right direction. So since then, though, we've seen a remarkable change in attitude and a remarkable change in investor behavior, which is really what we're here to talk about today. And Bill, we're talking about the assessment that you do when you're called in to look at a property. And you mentioned our experience really with historic properties. What created that kind of specialty in your life, and how does it benefit a community like Buffalo?
Well, sure. About 4 years ago, I was approached by Mary Roberts over at the Martin House. And they knew that they were doing a great job in the restoration. They were doing a $50 million restoration. She was more concerned about sustainability and long-term maintenance. And they knew that they didn't have a program in place. So she contacted my company. And we went in and started, right at the very beginning with a building condition assessment. And we identified.
What did you find at that point in time, given the fact that so much money had been spent?
That they needed to focus on the day-to-day maintenance, that the the basic HVAC preventative maintenance plan, the touch-ups around the property, you know, the things that I think they had some idea would require long-term maintenance. They just needed a plan put in place.
You know, that kind of begs the question of other public investments we've seen around town. For example, our Buffalo Public Schools. Yep. Enormous investment was, I believe, $1.4 billion invested in those schools. And we've had the succession of superintendents on the show to talk about the impact of that on education, number one, sure. And also the incentive that creates for other investment around those schools, which, you know, in some cases has happened, in some cases it hasn't. But now we're a couple of years into it. And now we've got just what you say, the day-to-day maintenance.
Yeah.
So that's another example. And what would be your advice in that regard? Let's go. But going back to the Darren Martin House for
sure.
A second. So what was the takeaway from all that?
Was that we came up with a plan for Martin House that included a work order management system so that they could electronically track maintenance on the property. That added a whole new level of, accountability, organization was the bedrock for a long-term maintenance plan on the property. We also identified a 20-year plan for capital projects on the on that location beyond the restoration. So this was, exactly what Mary was looking for, the institutionalizing of the long-term plan that we were able to put in place. From that experience, We were asked to look at the Clement Mansion, the old American Red Cross. For similar reasons, the Yurchuks, John and Carolyn Yurchuk, were looking to very generously donate the Clement Mansion to the BPO for their headquarters. The BPO board, never having been in property management before, were a little nervous about that, you know, taking on such a large property. And so, again, we were called in to take a look at, you know, what is the condition of the building? You know, what would be an investment that would be needed? You know, the BPO is a not-for-profit, so they didn't want to get in over their head on a on an investment like that. And, of course, that's where our program starts. Mm-hmm. You know, we went in and, you know, we did, in fact, take a look at the old slate roof, the foundation, you know, the condition of the old elevator, infrastructure, HVAC, plumbing, and so on. And so we were able to come back to the board with a very candid look at what is the condition of the Clement Mansion and, you know, what would that investment look like?
And that kind of begs the question. That basically was a house.
That's right.
So
beautiful.
And obviously that led you to other things, or perhaps not so obviously. You mentioned during the break that you've worked on this a simple residential version of, for most of our listeners, have no thoughts of a kind of investment we're talking about here. But for someone who's looking at buying a home or a two-family or four-family or something like that, which our community is filled with, what would you say to them?
You know, and I had started, as I said, with large industrial properties of all shapes and sizes, commercial, hospitals, schools. And so through that, I had come up with my 100-point checklist. This is a passion, and so I took that same checklist and looking at you know, residential home maintenance. I came up with twice a year plan, about 100 points, and I'll share that with your listeners if they like, on exactly what to look for in your home twice a year to maintain the value of the asset, and what types of things you can do to, you know, maintain and improve your home.
And is it designed to keep a home up to date, or is it designed to keep a home from falling down?
I would say.
And how does that relate? Is there a marketability element to this too? I mean, in terms of in your checklist, to say these are things that add the most value should you want to sell your home?
Absolutely. So if you're maintaining this 100-point checklist and you're going through this, you know, and it can be, you know, inspect, cleaning your gutters, you know, checking the door hardware, you know, maintaining your furnace in your building. It goes through every possible area of the home. And of course, if you're looking to sell your home, the records that you're keeping and how you're maintaining the home will increase the value of your house.
There's no question about it. Years ago, we put together a business plan to that would carry through the whole period of home ownership for everyone who bought a home from us. And it was a means by which they could document all their improvements and then actually adjust their base should they need to, if it's the last home that they're going to own for the capital gains purpose, et cetera. But, you know, it's amazing how I guess, it, difficult it is for people to think in those terms. How would you, I guess, advise anyone? I mean, because let's face a fact here. A real estate purchase is no different than buying, you know, a car or something. It's an emotional decision at the outset. But then it becomes a business, whether we like it or not, if you want to protect the investment you've made. So how do you educate people, or how would you educate in a beautiful world? How would you educate them besides your checklist? Mm-hmm. Because it's more than just handing someone a checklist. It's saying, you know,
right.
I mean, what would be a consultant's point of view in that regard?
You're making investments in, you know, things that you enjoy, of course. You know, but taking a look at the home as far as you said, an investment property. Where would you best you know, get the best return on that home. I would say that, you know, from a consultant point of view, that you're looking at the areas that are the most used in the home. Mm-hmm. I would say the kitchens, bathrooms, enjoyable outdoor living space. So, on your previous caller, you had said you'd have to take a look at each property and get to understand it. If that would be my advice.
And we'll be right back with more from our house tours after these very important messages. Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment. You can reach us at Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700, and I encourage you to call there today. I'm in the studio today with Bill Hibbard, who is a professional engineer and president and general manager of Hunt Property Solutions, and also Steve Fitzmaurice, who is also one of the leading experts in property management here in Western New York and now a professional in that area as well as the commercial real estate area. And we were talking during the break, Steve, about following up on what Bill was talking about earlier in terms of how you make an investment, how you should be counseled in the process of making that investment in real estate, whether it's a single-family home or right up to, you know, millions of dollars of some type of commercial property in one way, shape, or form, and then how you capitalize on that investment. What would be, you know, that's a broad question, but how would you start that process and offer someone some advice?
Well, I think one of the reasons why Bill was excited to merge with Hunt was the fact that we have Hunt Commercial. So if somebody was interested in making an investment in commercial real estate, we have the ability to find a property that would fit the bill for them, provide an investment to an opportunity to appreciate in value. So working with Hunt Commercial, we can procure the property for them. We can maintain the value of the property through properly assessing it and doing the type of work that we need to do along the way. We can also provide expertise to lease up the property, but also talk about an exit strategy. When do you want to sell the property? Is it 10 years? Is it 15 years? Do you want to hold on to the property and bequeath it to your family or whatever? But those are the types of things that we can provide that input and allow somebody to not only get that cash-on-cash return in the operation of the building, but then also to realize the appreciation at the time that they choose to sell the property.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. I've often, in my discussion with property owners or would-be property owners, I've often suggested that it's difficult to get both in terms of a cash-on-cash return and then appreciation. For example, let's say I'm able to find a lower-priced property and maybe in a marginal neighborhood where the rents are strong, mm-hmm. Relative to the value of that home. That provides me with a strong cash-on-cash return, but it might be of the condition that, you know, might require significant investment. But then I look at the cash-on-cash return, I say I'm only justified to invest X number of dollars before I overinvest. But I go ahead and make that investment. Now I've got more cash sunk in the property, so my cash-on-cash return goes down. But hopefully, and this is the market working, hopefully around me good things are happening. My investment will spur others to make an investment, which raises everybody's ship, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And in so doing, we all benefit through appreciation because obviously, or perhaps not so obviously, rents would go up as well. This is true not only for residential property, but commercial property and all the way down the line. And I think this is the rationale, and I'd like both your gentlemen to comment on it. This is the rationale for the government offering tax credits, for example. There was no, and I've had developers sit in these chairs, and they've said time and time again, there is no rationale for making the investment they would be making in a commercial property if there were not tax credits available. So try to package that together a little bit and comment. So we've got a situation, we're at an interesting point in our history here in Western New York. We've got, every community has kind of a glass ceiling on rents. You experienced this, Steve, at the tower, and Bill, you've experienced this in another way through historic properties.
Yep.
In the case of the Kleinhans, I mean, effectively the city owns a property, but you've got a not-for-profit as a tenant,
right,
which is a very interesting dynamic. But there's a threshold there. And so sure, in order to get the properties to the condition they should be, requires, in many cases, more investment than would be justified in the eventual rents. How do you rationalize all that?
You know, I think it comes down to the risk of purchasing a distressed property. So if you're in the position to take the risk and you're willing to make that investment, it's a long-term investment. In order to, I guess, entice really any public or private entity to do that, you've got to have incentives in place for them to even have the cash available to make those initial investments.
Rocco Termini was on some time ago, and he was talking about exactly how those tax credits are monetized, which provides the cash you're talking about.
Yep.
And that would be a whole another hour here, which we can't get into. But I think you're pointing out something very important. But before we get too far away from the historic piece of this, which is, you know, kind of the inherent value that we have in this community, you've developed a specialty, Bill, in terms of the historic properties around town, which you just you touched on a little earlier. How do you kind of build on that specialty, given the fact that we've got so many properties? I mean, for example, the type of properties that we're managing now are all the way across the board.
They really are. I mean, you know, I had mentioned Kleinhans Music Hall and the Clement Mansion, which most people would know as the American Red Cross. We've also, you know, been involved, as I said, at the Martin House. You know, you can add to that the Saturn Club of Buffalo. Again, these are very different properties. We can include the Brisbane building finally. So, you know, Brisbane is a commercial property. Saturn Club is a private club. Darwin Martin is probably the crown jewel of the Buffalo area. And, you know, taking what we've learned from just that breadth of experience, you start to see commonalities. You start to see, you know, things within each of those properties, although they are so diverse, that really come down to your general maintenance, the types of projects that you want to invest in, how you prioritize those projects. Those things never vary.
Mm-hmm. And we have such a collection in this community. This week we had an event at the Hotel Henry, for example, the Richardson Complex. At one point, Dennis Murphy was on the show not long ago, and we were talking about what that property was originally, 100 acres,
yeah,
which encompassed most of what is now Buffalo State. Olmsted Parks, Frederick Olmsted designed the landscape around that. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
Yet the hotel and the conference center, and now the architectural museum, occupy just a small portion of that building.
Sure.
How does a community like ours address that kind of project,
mm-hmm,
and how should we look at something mm-hmm like that?
In fact, I took a walk through that property probably 6 or 7 years ago, and you know, along with the many other things that we come across, you know, I became an expert at looking at vacant properties that we needed to preserve, so that we could look at how to restore them, rehabilitate them, reuse them in some ways. So I did walk through, you know, and at some point you know, begin to understand, again, how do you sustain a property at the most minimum expense for mm-hmm that owner, so that then they'll be able to, you know, look at it in a long term. We looked at how to restore that building, obviously starting with the roof, starting with the exterior,
mm-hmm,
how to bring in portable heating systems, not to rely on central heat in order to reduce the costs of, you know, just holding that property indefinitely.
How many square feet is that whole complex? Do you have any idea?
Wow. I really don't.
It's massive.
It's massive. And there's multiple buildings, and it will take, you know, they've done a fabulous job. And, you know, they've obviously attracted the attention of New York State in order to go in and make another investment because of such a great job they've done. Now they can start to look at a multi-year plan for the whole property.
Mm-hmm. And Steve Fitzmaurice, you provided a very simple four-step kind of process that most of our listeners would not be looking at something like the Richardson Complex or even considering it. I mean, it takes vision and lots of money, which I think some people have lots of vision, but not many people have lots and lots of money to do something like that. But you gave a very simple kind of four-step approach to this whole process of investing in real estate. One is to locate the property and to use a professional in that process. And I would assume that begins with a consultative process where you meet with someone and say, let's talk about what are your goals? What are you working with? What's your vision? What kind of properties do you like? And begin to help them isolate the type of property would be best suited for their particular goals. Secondly, that they're, once you find a property, to properly understand that property through an assessment. Thirdly, to lease it up in one way, shape, or form, or occupy it if that's the purpose initially. And then the important step that you mentioned, I think, is something that people often overlook, and that's planning the exit. Whether you actually exercise that plan or not, it's important to have that plan. And it's, you know, interesting, when I was listening to you talk about that, I was thinking about friends of mine that are in the investment world. And almost always in the process of discussing any investment, somewhere along the line, they ask the question of the designer of that investment or the person who's trying to secure funds for that investment, where's my exit? So if I was listening to this show and I'd say, well, where do I start? What's the first step? You said it already, but I mean, should they just contact you? And if they were, how would they reach you?
They can talk to us. I'm just wondering where to start here, but
start with your phone number.
583-4070. That's easy enough. And I work with Bill as a vice president at Hunt Property Solutions. I'm also a commercial broker. So we can help you find a property, maintain it, build up the net operating income, which is going to dictate the sale price of the building eventually. And those are the important things that you'd want to do there.
Let me put some words into your mouth. The exit is the present value of future rights to income. So the way that you create the future rights of income through the process you just described is really how you plan that exit. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Well, I'll put some words in your mouth.
Thank you.
and Bill Hibbert, if I was an owner of some property out there and I'm thinking to myself, how could these guys help me? What would you say?
Sure, I'd say call us at our main office, 634-0100. Hunt Property Solutions. We're located right at the Brisbane Building, Suite 628. And, you know, we will look at the full program, the current program that may be in place. We could also offer consulting services. We come in and do benchmark cost analysis, building condition assessments, as I said. But ultimately looking for ways to improve that property, albeit the physical property itself or how you're maintaining that property short-term and long-term.
And as a user of these services, I can only underscore their value. I've seen a remarkable change in our tenant attitude in terms of the whole outlook for their stay in the building, and as well as right down to the details of management and improvement of that property. Bill Hibbert, PE and President of General Manager of Hunt Property Solutions, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Steve Fitzmaurice, one of the leading experts in property management and also becoming an increasingly expert in the field of commercial brokerage, thank you for being with us as well.
Okay. Thank you, Peter.
I'd like to thank our listeners. We'll be back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is Hunt Country.